I've been talking about the five hindrances before I left for retreat. I just came back less than a week ago, and I was here on Friday, but I haven't been back on a Tuesday yet. So before I left, I was talking about the hindrances. I was just kind of doing a series on that. And I just want to continue with that today. I was thinking, like, should I change it? Like, there's elections going on, there's all sorts of other stuff going on in the world. But I think just continuing is also fine for this time. And so for those who don't know, the five hindrances are sensual desire, ill will, and then the third one is a pair, sloth and torpor, and the fourth one is a pair, restlessness and worry, and then the fifth one is doubt. And so I talked about sensual desire and ill will, and today I will continue with sloth and torpor. And these five hindrances are going to be part of our practice. So like I said before, it's not like a personal failure if they show up. It's just going to be part of what's happening. And that's also why the Buddha was talking about them and teaching about them, so that we can recognize them and learn how to work with them. The Pali for sloth and torpor is tinamita. And so, like, you get, it's often translated as sloth and torpor. And I don't know how this is for you English, as for most of you are native English speakers, but for a non-native English speaker, these words are not very, you know, telling us, I don't know what these mean. Sloth is kind of this animal, right? So yeah, maybe we should look at what this actually means. So the first one, tina, so the sloth, Bhikkhu Bodhi is one of the is American monk, scholar, practitioner, and he says sloth is sluggish or dullness of mind. Its characteristic is lack of driving power. Its function is to dispel energy. It is manifested as the sinking of the mind. Its proximate cause is unwise attention to boredom and drowsiness. So that's, you know, already a lot. And then mida, torpor. Torpor is the morbid state of the mental factors. Its characteristic is unwieldiness. Its function is to smother. It is manifested as drooping or as nodding and sleepiness. Its proximate cause is the same as that of sloth, namely unwise attention to boredom and drowsiness. So often these two are named as one hindrance together, but they can express in different ways. Like, one is more of a sleepiness, and the other one is more of this dullness, sinking mind kind of feeling. But maybe it's, you know, instead of trying to find out exactly what the differences are or what, you know, the nuances are, maybe it's more interesting to just look at the, you know, the whole package of sleepiness, dullness, drowsiness, sinking mind. And the Buddha has these similes in the suttas about each of the hindrances, and each of the hindrances is compared to a bowl of water that you kind of look at your reflection in the bowl of water, and the hindrance is preventing you from seeing your reflection clearly. And so for sloth and torpor, he says, suppose there's a bowl of water covered with water plants and algae. If a man with good sight were to examine his own facial reflection in it, he would neither know nor see it as it really is. So too, when one dwells with a mind obsessed by sloth and torpor. And so then we also don't really see what is happening. And so it's like a bowl of water overgrown with water plants and algae. And so this sloth and torpor can express in all these different ways. Sometimes we just feel mentally tired. We might have difficulty maintaining our attention, and in a more extreme way than our normal kind of distractedness. And, you know, it can be just a real feeling of fatigue, sleepiness, drowsiness, feeling like you have clouds in your head. The mind might become really slow, sluggish, like as if you're wading through mud. And then, you know, it can be really hard to muster the energy to actually stay present for the meditation. You're just kind of sinking away. So this sinking mind can be an expression too. You might recognize that you're just kind of like sinking away, as if, you know, you're just not present. It's not happening. And there might be like too much relaxation and not enough alertness going on. You might get like these dream images. There can also be kind of a sense of laziness, like feeling too lazy to meditate, not really wanting to put your mind to it. No real motivation. Like it can express of like, oh, I'm just gonna hang for the TV now. Like, let's just blank out and just, you know, play a video game or whatever it is that you like to do when you get when you want to distract yourself. And of course, you can also be physically like not being able to keep your body upright. You know, just if it is really only just pure physical fatigue, then it might be useful to just take a nap. Or just get enough sleep during the night. Make sure that you can make enough hours. Prioritize your sleep more. I mean, often when I, for example, give an introductory course, or when I talk to people about when they're trying to set up a meditation practice, and they say, "Oh, I practice right before I go to bed, and then I fall asleep all the time." Yeah, duh. You're tired. So, you know, maybe that's not the best time to meditate, and it's not sloth and torpor then, but it's just, you just need to go to bed, basically. And the one of my teachers is the Burmese monk Pa Auk Sayadaw. He's very very strict kind of monk, doing a lot of concentration meditation, but he gave the advice to if you want to know, is this sloth and torpor, or am I just really fatigued? Do I just need rest? Is to think about your favorite fantasy, maybe like a vacation in the Bahamas or something, and then see if there comes some energy. If some energy comes back, so if the energy comes back, if you actually feel like more engaged because you're thinking about your fantasy, then you're probably experiencing the sloth and torpor. Because there is energy, but if it's just it's not working, you're not even able to think about this fantasy, then you probably just need some more rest. So that's the advice of this monk. And so in the other two talks so far, I've used on these hindrances, I used this structure to look at the hindrances. And so the Buddha pointed out 5 areas that are useful to explore when working with the hindrance. And so I'll go over these 5 areas for sloth and torpor. I also went over it for the other hindrances. And so the first one is to look at the hindrance itself. So the Buddha advises just look at the hindrance. And the aspects that we might take a look at, this is my own interpretation, is to look at body and mind aspects of this hindrance. Yeah, like what does it feel like in the body? How does it actually feel to be sleepy? How does it feel to have a sinking mind in the body? Maybe it comes with a certain heaviness or a pressure, maybe it's something different for you. And also, like, what is the effect in the mind? Like the dreaminess or not being able to focus, the unfocusedness, the cloudiness, or any type of unclearness that might be there. And so this first step is about getting familiar with the hindrance, really getting to know it. Like, what is it like, the curiosity? And I've had this is one of the hindrances that I've had probably the most experience with. I don't know if I've served the most, because sensual desire and ill will are pretty common too. But I've had this illness called chronic fatigue syndrome, and luckily I'm mostly healed. But when I was still in the thick of it, I started meditating, and it was back in the Netherlands where I'm from. And at some point, I was describing my practice to my teacher, and she was like, "Oh, well, maybe you should kind of investigate this tiredness that you feel. Maybe just look at it, and what can you experience? What can you really discover about it in your body and your mind?" So I started to look at it, and I found out that there is this pressure behind my throat. It's really weird. This pressure behind my throat in the brain, kind of, you know, next to kind of the irritated eyes and the pressure behind the eyes. But there was also this pressure there, and I was like super surprised that there was this pressure there. So just this novel kind of finding, like, oh, this is interesting, really sparked my curiosity and felt not as much as the enemy anymore. It's more like, oh yeah, this is just an interesting thing to look at. So if we can look at the hindrances in that way, it can be really helpful for our practice, you know, not see them as the enemy. You know, we often kind of automatically push them away because they're unpleasant. I mean, sense desire can sometimes be pleasant, but often it's unpleasant, and then we just want it to go away. So this curiosity can kind of counter that tendency for pushing it away. And so the more we can allow the hindrance to be there, the more it can dissipate in its own time. Once we start pushing, it will just kind of stay longer, basically. And so that's the first aspect, investigation, look at it. And then the second step that the Buddha names is to work with it, to work with the hindrances, not only just observe it, but... I think I'm a step ahead. First it's aware when the hindrance is not present. That's the second step. So noticing when we're not sleepy, when we're not drowsy, when we're not fatigued. So this is great. Like, if you've ever had like a condition like chronic fatigue, then it's so amazing to have energy. Like you can really appreciate that. So just think about that when next time you feel energy, like, oh wow, this is great. So we can really appreciate that this hindrance is absent. And then the third step is to look at how did this hindrance arise? And it's kind of important, because once we start to see how the hindrance arises, how the sloth and torpor arise, the different kinds can have different reasons to arise, maybe. But some of the things we can look out for are, you know, when does it come? Why does it come? And if we do that, then it might be easier to work with it, which will be the next step. And so one of the reasons why sloth and torpor arises can be that we resist our experience. So we don't want to feel something, for example, like there's some underlying kind of mood or emotion or some difficulty that we have. And then the mind starts to compensate, like with just being super fatigued and drowsy and just not wanting to face the reality of the moment, basically. And even like if we do get kind of sleepy, but it might be just a normal kind of fatigue sleepiness, and we start to resist that, then there might be more drowsiness and sleepiness actually arising because we're resisting our natural sleepiness. And sometimes unwise attention to certain pleasant feelings could cause could cause drowsiness too. Like kind of indulging in this dreaminess, for example, can just kind of make it worse. And so then the fourth aspect is to look at how to, quote-unquote, remove the hindrance. The Buddha uses the language remove, but I don't really like that language, or at least in the translation that I looked at. But the essence, I think, of this instruction is how to work with the hindrance, because it's not like, oh, let's decide to get rid of this drowsiness. That's not, usually not how it works. It's more about like, oh, let me investigate, let me look at why it arises. And then there are certain things we can do with this specific hindrance, this specific sloth and torpor. So one thing that can be helpful, which is helpful for all the hindrances, is allowing it. The more that we can allow whatever is happening, the more these states of mind and body can just move through us. So it's a really interesting practice note, allowing something that's easily overlooked, because some things are just unpleasant and we just push them away. And sometimes it helps to just, you know, ask yourself, am I allowing this to be here or am I resisting it? Just to check in for yourself. And then some other remedies that the Buddha calls out in the suttas are to, for example, I'm not sure if this one is from the suttas, but to give attention to more to the mind, like start counting your breaths, for example. But this in the suttas is, for example, if you are doing breath meditation, to look at, oh, is this a long breath or a short breath? To be a bit more specific about what's actually happening. And you can also bring to mind your reason to meditate. Like, what is your motivation? It can bring also energy. Some of the classic things in the suttas are also to reflect on the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. For some that are more of a devotional type, that can be really helpful. And then physically, there are a few things you can do. You can check your posture. Are you still upright? You can straighten your back. You can stand up during your meditation, do standing meditation. If we're in the group here, you can always do standing meditation. If you're at home, you can even do walking meditation, which the Buddha calls out as one of the remedies for sloth and torpor. You can briefly open your eyes and look at a light source, a lamp, or the window. And then one of the things that's also in the sutta is to pull your earlobes. It's really funny and it works. At least I've done it, and sometimes it works. You can just, you know, wrap your face a little bit with your hands, for example. You know, these kind of things can all help a little bit. And then maybe it dissolves, and then we can rejoice in the fact that it's gone. That's one of the other steps. And then the last aspect is to prevent it from arising, so that it doesn't arise in the first place. And then this step of seeing how the hindrance or why the hindrance arises can be really important to, you know, to be able to start this process of finally, or at some point, preventing it from arising. We might notice this resistance to a certain experience. And so when this resistance starts, we might be able to catch that before it starts to become sloth and torpor. Does that make sense? And then at some point we might be just facing whatever is there without resisting it, and then sloth and torpor might not arise anymore. It might not be a big hindrance anymore for you in your meditation. And that's just one example, of course. Maybe there's different reasons for you that sloth and torpor arise, so it's really important to, you know, to investigate that. And so what we can do is these five steps, how does it, what is it like to have this hindrance? What does it feel like in body and mind? Recognize that it's absent if it's not there and rejoice in that. Investigate how or why the hindrance arose. And then the fourth one was how to remove, quote unquote, the hindrance, and then how to prevent it from arising. And then I want to end with a Buddha, a quote from the Buddha, where he compares when sloth and torpor are done, when we are free from sloth and torpor, with a certain simile as well. And he has that also for each hindrance. And for sloth and torpor, he says, when one sees that sloth and torpor have been abandoned within oneself, one regards that as release from prison. When he sees that this hindrance has been abandoned within oneself, gladness arises.